Hello and welcome back to Miss On Send with Xavier and Alan, where, as always, we'll be looking at all manner of film and theatre from around the world. Now, remember to follow us on your favourite listening platform and also follow us on Facebook or Instagram to get sneak peeks at upcoming episodes. This week, we're looking at Pieces of a Woman, so take it away, Alan.
Hello, Save, and of course, hello to our favourite fans, and welcome back to Mise en Scène. Before we plunge into the depths of emotional loss, grief, and pain, remember, as always, our podcasts are best enjoyed if you have seen the film prior, and we contain spoilers. As Save said, we're looking at the film Pieces of a Woman, which is a 2020 Netflix film by the Hungarian director Cornel Mondrusco, with a story written by Kata Avebe. To give our listeners a brief overview, I'll just provide a quick summary of the plot before breaking it down. So Sean, played by Shia LaBeouf, is working on a building bridge in Boston, but soon leaves the construction site to be at home with his partner, Martha, played by Vanessa Kirby. This is the first baby, and it's due any minute. However, the couple's first choice midwife cannot attend and has sent in a replacement stand-in, Eva, played by Molly Parker. When the moment arrives, events don't go according to plan. We witness the birthing process of Martha attempting to deliver the baby in her home. After a very intense few minutes, the couple are blessed with a baby girl. However, this moment is short-lived, with the crying of the newborn muffling and her skin turning blue. This tumultuous scene resulting in the child passing sets the pace and the trajectory of the rest of the film. Save, what did you think?
Honestly, this film was nothing short of traumatic. It's the emotional equivalent of a nuclear bomb with anyone surviving being kicked in the head. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about it in terms of the way it makes you feel, because it really is just that sort of gut-wrenching, and it's unrelenting as well throughout the entire film. And even technical elements of the film, such as the absolute silence at the start of the film, immediately sets you up for a great fall. And the lack of music to lull us into any sort of pleasant mindset for this film was nothing short of disconcerting. And it's the sort of thing you get so rarely in film. So when you did come across it in this, it was truly powerful. Now, Vanessa Kirby plays the role of an expectant mother well, and Shia LaBeouf plays a man punching above his marriage weight so convincingly well that it's almost uncomfortable to watch, which, in all fairness, is probably exactly the feeling that this film was going for, as inherently we discover later in the film that this is the viewpoint Martha's mother holds with the highest of concerns, to the point where she actually pays him to leave. And furthermore, this is just such an uncomfortable film predominantly because of the lack of music and the expectation of failed delivery and death. I mean, this is right at the outset. So at some level, you could argue that the story was an inspiring tale of overcoming grief, but it's a hard-won inspiration, for this film takes the viewers on such a dark journey into the depths of hopelessness and despair, and you just can't help but be brought down this dark tunnel with the characters. How about you?
One of the fascinating things that came to my attention post-viewing was that Kata Weber, who wrote the film, based the central ideologies and tragedies on the experience of her losing her child with the director, who was also her creative partner for Jupiter's Moon and White God. It's clearly obvious that for their third collaboration, the duo had to really dig deep to the roots of despair and anguish, as you mentioned just before, to unearth the agony caused by the awkward stares and the isolation that comes when you lose a baby. I think this fact alone made me view the film from a different level. And as a viewer, I could feel the eerily detailed realism that one may have faced when dealing with such a traumatic experience. Personally, for me, as a father-to-be, this was a profound awakening on the possibilities and the complexities of what potentially can go wrong at childbirth. You know, the caveat is that hospitals are quicker methods for care if things do go south. I found that Richard Brody from The New Yorker said it best when he states that imagination isn't only extravagant fantasy, but it's also a comprehensive realism which offers a view of character in their full spectrum of activities and drama in their full range of social implications. And that's what this film was able to achieve. The film is a portrait of personal disintegration, and it alludes to a rising off from the ashes metaphoric process of piecing one's life back together. You know, it's real, it's raw, and for the most part, it was very captivating. You know, both the director and Kirby take the viewer on an emotional, gripping journey, exploring human temperaments, relationships, belief systems, and family and societal ideologies, and I absolutely love that part of the movie.
I'm glad you've actually clarified that Weber and Mondrusco actually experienced this in reality, as this was something I felt whilst watching the film, that the pain being portrayed within must surely have been a lived experience, for only someone with this sort of tragic lived experience could ever hope to capture the emotion and agony of such an experience. And for me, this film most certainly did that. Furthermore, this is something so many people endure, and it's what should be one of the happiest times of their lives. So I expect that this film resonates deeply for many, and many may actually be completely unable to watch this film.
So I think you're right. Look, I think that what we see on screen is a result of a collaborative effort of, you know, them putting their emotion onto screen. And so, as you previously mentioned before, the lack of music and the absence of silence, you know, these are things that I picked up as well. Sound design has always, you know, had a key part in film. Creating landscapes of sound and extending palettes to new heights. You know, getting sound and silence to work together really flourishes as a composition. Silence emphasizes on the emotion that, you know, that every single sound creates. And the semantic possibilities in silence are, you know, are almost endless, but yet often ignored. But Kunal Mondrusko doesn't ignore them. He uses this to enhance the emotive response to the scene brilliantly. One thing I found interesting is that Cornell's film opens with a man, especially when the title was suggestive of a female centered role. And this was merely an observation, but, you know, I do believe that there is some premise behind this. But having said that, after watching the intense first scene, I wanted more of Martha and less of Sean. And this is where the film let me down.
Yeah, see, I have to vehemently disagree with you here, because while I do not particularly care for the character Sean, an expectant father goes through the same highs and lows as a mother. Now, everyone will experience that pain and loss differently, but I feel like a father's loss should not be seen as somehow inferior or less important than that of the mother. I feel that in this film, it was making a statement in a way about the fact that a father is involved in this life-changing movement, but as a man, his mental and emotional health is often overlooked in favor of the woman. And this is something which, in reality, and as we see in this film, can often lead to substance abuse, depression, withdrawal, familial breakdown, and in some cases, suicide, as fathers are not always acknowledged. Now, it is worth mentioning that at this juncture too, that this is not something unique to the loss of a child, but it's certainly one of those critical pillars where men often feel isolated and unsupported. And this is not to diminish a mother's suffering, but it's important to acknowledge that two people lost a child. And for that reason, I actually really enjoyed the fact that Sean was a central character, albeit a dysfunctional one.
No, look, I think you're right. Look, a father's loss has to be acknowledged. But I felt that there were moments of unnecessary or poor plot points, you know. I wanted more emphasis on Martha and her psyche. An in-depth exploration between her and Sean would have brought this movie to another level for me. The storyline of the cousin and the sensationalized trial was placed, I felt, to give Martha a standing speech scene towards the end. And, you know, some of Sean's scenes just felt cliche. Even though Shia LaBeouf never misses an opportunity to display his penis on screen, the rest of the moments, like, you know, his relapse and the affair, felt forced and unnatural. These aspects diluted the movie's impact by taking away what I wanted to see, pieces of a woman, and how she attempts to put those pieces back together.
I understand where you're coming from here, and I do agree in principle regarding the trial. It didn't add great value as a scene in itself. However, it was the core motivation driving the characters rallying behind Martha and driving a wedge between her and Sean. And I feel that without it as an instigating event, there would have been a core element regarding how one comes to terms with such things overlooked. Now, I do feel like the film harped on a little bit too much about litigation, and on a personal front, I feel like that is almost promoting a litigious pathway, which should be curtailed in certain countries, because at the end of the day, some things just do go wrong, they're unavoidable, and no one is to blame. But that being said, I disagree that Shia's scenes necessarily felt forced, as I did feel that as a plot-driven point, things such as substance abuse and cheating could be very real outcomes, but I do agree that Shia as an actor in and of himself in this film felt a little bit unnatural. But that being said, perhaps that is just because the class difference between Martha and Sean on screen transcended down to Vanessa and Shia, at which point it would suggest that this in fact was brilliant acting on both their parts. And likewise, those issues of if someone cheats or starts to abuse substances, that is part of life that I guess creates these pieces that women have to overcome as well. So they're not entirely about the character of Sean, they're just other pieces that a woman, in this case Martha, has to overcome.
Right. So I think we should look at the actors and characters of the film now that you've mentioned both Sean and Martha, and briefly break down how they actually impacted the film so we can explore this concept a bit further. So let's start off with Martha, which is played by Vanessa Kirby, as I mentioned. The film predominantly resonates with women who have experienced trauma and breakdown. Vanessa Kirby presents us with such an exquisite portrayal of such a woman, delivered through her performance. And I think Kirby transfers her performance from catatonic at one point to a frenzied state at others, and she becomes just as destructive as Sean without enabling her reaction to feel like a cliche. And a severely devastated Martha is something unique. You know, as an actor, she's able to portray and exhibit a fully developed and pronounced representation of someone who's falling apart. And I just, you know, I absolutely fell in love with that. The majority of her scenes are played while she's mentally frazzled, and the audience witnesses her, you know, with these deary-eyed rawness, you know, especially after she delivers one of the most convincing on-screen labor scenes that I've seen, you know, in a long time, if not ever. But post-event, we share a sense of numbness as we see Martha draw back, and both inwards and relive the moment. This is an amazing illustration of how to create a vicarious take on a cognitive agony, piece by piece, strand by strand, and without subjugating and pandering for easy cop-outs. And I thought that was done beautifully by both the director and Vanessa Kirby.
There is no doubt that Vanessa Kirby did do a wonderful job in this. And as the character of Martha, it's almost like she's a ghost walking the streets. She sees the souls of children that lived, but nobody sees her. And I feel like that was a really poignant and powerful thing in this film. It's as though she sees the world through a harsh lens of experience that only a sufferer can see through. And everybody's pain is unique and cold as a snowflake. And to convey that on screen and to feel that as the audience, you're right, we share this sense of numbness with her. We feel her draw back, both inwards and reliving the moment, as you said, and it really is just such a powerful, powerful thing that she does. And to portray this on screen speaks to the raw talent of Kirby, and it perhaps even suggests a glimpse within her own soul as an individual, suggestive of perhaps personal demons. For it is my genuine belief that an actor or actress or even authors, writers, they can only deliver something so complete if they already have some form of lived experience to draw from. And Kirby's portrayal of Martha was thoroughly believable and in my mind elevated her out of the obscure supporting actress role she's often found in, and I hope that she now finds her place as a leading actress in more films to come for many a long year, because clearly she has the power, the presence and the credentials to execute a role such as this.
She's surely someone to look out for in the future.
For sure. So, next character, Sean, played by Shia LaBeouf.
Everyone has their own way of dealing with tragedy, and you know, some decide to relapse into bad habits, others resort to a sense of dissociation from family and society. And in Sean's case, you know, like, he did all of the above, including cheating on his wife. But I felt like Sean's character at times was sort of shoehorned in just to create that dramatic composition between him and Martha. I didn't like the trajectory of his story arc, as I mentioned before, and I think the sequence involving LaBeouf aggressively pursuing sex with Kirby, you know, before angrily storming off, always plays this, you know, exceedingly uncomfortably. And, you know, there's this aggression in his work that makes you feel like a voyeur, but not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah, but see, I don't feel like any of this film was meant to make you feel good about anything. And as I mentioned, I believe the story would have been much more hollow and devoid of emotion had the character Sean not been included. And again, you know, two people lose a child, and often a lot more than just the child as a result of that loss. I do agree with you, though, that his trajectory could have felt a bit nicer, but that would have defeated the purpose of his character as another loss for Martha, because at the end of the day, he's another piece of her life that she needs to sort of grow through, push through, and come to terms with. But that being said, the attempted sex scene was powerful and raw, and for me, it exemplified the feeling of someone's last-ditch attempt, which was destined for failure at the exact moment that someone else might be turning a corner. And sadly, the two collide, resulting in marital fatality. And you're right, this scene was painfully uncomfortable, maybe even excruciatingly so, but I could appreciate it for the power that that scene actually held as a result. Because for me, of all the scenes in the film, that was the defining scene that said, this is the end.
Look, maybe what I'm trying to say is, I wish that Sean's character didn't have the tropes that Martha could easily leave him for. The previous drug addiction or the previous substance abuse, someone who came from a different class system to her. I felt like these were all reasons that, you know, she was able to push him away for his aggressiveness, a sense of misogyny that, you know, that quaffed over him. And I just wished maybe this movie would have been even more powerful if they didn't have such a contrasting partner for Martha. Like in the movie, Collateral Beauty. And spoiler warnings ahead for those who haven't seen this movie, but Will Smith has lost a child and he seeks solace and guidance from a psychiatrist who ends up being his wife. And, you know, that connection and that anguish that they both battle through, both being working professionals. You know, I felt like even though that movie didn't get great ratings, I really loved that relationship between them and that struggle that they both felt, and it felt more real. But I felt like this particular character of Sean and the way that he was written was a bit of a cop-out, and I think that's what I didn't like about the movie. How easy it was for Martha to make that decision to push him aside. You know, he was able to be bought out by Elizabeth, the mother. I think that's what I don't like about this character.
Yeah, look, I see where you're coming from, but I don't necessarily agree with it. Simply for the fact that not everything in life is nice, not everything is rosy, not everybody has an amazing partner, and some people are, you know, married into lower castes and different socioeconomic situations, and some people are just, you know, horrible people to begin with and somehow end up with amazing people. I mean, we often see that and you sort of go, you know, how did these two people end up? And when they're put in situations such as this, I guess those inherent flaws or cracks in their relationship, whatever you want to call it, it sort of has almost this predestined fate because it's a failure point. And if you never have a situation in which those failure points are put under pressure, then you might stand the test of time. But, you know, as we saw with her mother's character, Elizabeth, which we'll come to in a moment, she saw those issues. She saw those flaws. And obviously, you know, there was an element that this was always going to go wrong. So I actually appreciated the fact that we didn't have this happy couple beyond there is sort of immediate happiness, because to me it felt like a much more genuine relationship, that these people did have issues that went far beyond just having a child, that there were other core issues in their relationship which they had, I guess, actively overlooked, but that the rest of the world saw, and that, you know, couldn't stand up to some of these sort of severe trials such as losing a child. So while I do understand how it could be seen and interpreted as, you know, some tropes pandering to an audience, I did sort of look at this as more of a genuine element where not every husband is this doting, amazing person that can, you know, bring it home every day.
Yeah, that's sure. Look, I think you do have a very valid point, and, you know, that's a great perspective to have. And I didn't see it in that particular way. Speaking of Elizabeth, who's played by Ellen Brestron, let's talk about her for a bit, Safe. So Martha's mother, the matriarch, you know, who was my second favorite character, and we see her constantly and willingly pursue her catharsis by holding the midwife accountable through obviously legal proceedings, and she does this with the help of Martha's cousin. She has a very memorable a monologue, you know, which she delivers at the family dinner with the aim of convincing Martha to pursue the lawsuit. Naturally, Martha displays resistance, so Elizabeth recounts the events of her birth, you know, and how luck and her neonatal willpower, so to speak, is the reason for her to be alive. And this sort of reopens a decades-old wound within Elizabeth, but she still persists. And we see this kindness and sorrow, and Elizabeth are portraying this form of raw grit, which is pleading with Martha to reconsider her opinion. And I came to realize that she improvised part of this speech as the cameras were rolling, which even made it more fascinating and more memorable for me.
Elizabeth was definitely a brilliant meddling mother. I mean, she was played wonderfully by Alan Burstyn. You wanted to hate her, but you could also feel, at least as far as she was concerned about Martha, that she had the best of intentions, but she was this meddlesome mother that no one would ever want, and I think we can probably all agree unanimously, nobody wants a mother-in-law like that. But her interference in the affairs of others ultimately may have had a bigger impact on the separation of Sean and Martha than anyone would like, and that is long before she ever pays him to even leave. Now, whatever her motivations, she is, I guess, self-serving and spiteful, and doesn't allow Martha the opportunity to grieve in her way, and ultimately manipulates those around her. But the conviction which Ellen brings to this role was astounding, and she was a completely believable character, and I had no difficulty understanding and perceiving that people like this are in the world, that there are in-laws that would be every bit as determined to either get rid of someone's partner if they didn't feel that they were suitable, or to defend their honor in court in order to preserve or seek some sort of justice. She absolutely did a fantastic job of this.
Yeah, she was absolutely beautiful, and she displays her acting prowess, and it was just brilliant to watch on screen. So say, now moving on to the themes of this movie, I might let you take the lead on this one.
Okay. Well, I guess the most obvious theme in this film, at least for me, that was a visual portrayal was the bridge. We open with the bridge, we pretty much close with the bridge, and the bridge shows up throughout the film. And the bridge essentially was used as a passage of time, but part of me would have liked it not to have also listed the timeline as text, as I feel the exact time is somewhat irrelevant because the bridge metaphor on its own is perfectly understandable, because it also doubles as a metaphor, in my opinion at least, for Martha healing and rejoining her broken halves. You know, she comes to terms with the loss of her child and eventually tips the ashes out into that same river from that bridge. And so it's got this sort of nice bookending sense of closure, just with a bridge theme throughout the whole film. And the bridge isn't really a character in itself. It's just a stage piece, really. But for me, that's how I took the bridge at a themic level. What did you think?
Yeah, look, I think from the very first scene, we see Sean mention to his co-workers or to his manager that he doesn't like the incompetence of this particular worker helping him on the bridge, and he wants him to replace because he wants the bridge done in time so his daughter can be the first one to walk on this bridge. And I think that was a very beautiful sentiment to sort of tie up in the very first act. And look, I think this was a very nice way to express the process of healing. And it was a very heavy-handed visual metaphor of the bridge. You know, as we see the dates go by, it progressively comes together as a solid structure. So yes, it was very metaphor in the way that as the bridge comes together, so does Martha's ability to put the pieces of her disintegrated life back together, or, you know, of that particular moment, it becomes whole again, or, well, even whole enough just for her to just cross it. And at, like you said, at the end scene, for her to spread the ashes of her daughter.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the bridge reminds me of sort of this sentiment, just because it is a road, that, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And it seems almost apt for this film as it looks at how people deal with pain, trauma, and loss as the direct recipients, and how those around them also seek to help and do what they deem right, even if those intentions come across as cold, callous, and presumptuous. And I guess in some ways, the way people deal with us, in their minds, at some sort of subconscious level, might also be them trying to build a bridge to us, or helping those individuals to build a bridge out to us so that they can feel connected and helped. But as I said, you know, that road to hell is paved with good intentions. Did you feel anything like that?
Yeah, look, the film, I felt, didn't explore Martha seeking self-help. It portrayed her as dealing with her issues as an individual rather than seeking advice or aid. And I think, does that give something, a varying message to someone who's going through something similar, or is it just in the context of the narrative? I almost wanted this film to be darker than it was. I felt like the court trial, the cousin, the mother scene was just, it was pandering to sort of conventional cinema, and I really wanted this to be dark, even more gritty than it was. Basically, that first labor scene, the intensity of that, that's what I thought the entirety of the movie was going to be. Even her exploring these fragmented pieces, I wanted it to be in that level. Maybe varying levels of that frequency of grief and anguish, but still all along the same line. And I didn't get that, and I was just a bit disappointed.
That's fair enough, although I have to say, I think if this film was much heavier, and that heavy as you seem to have wanted for more than 2 hours, that would be an almost unwatchable film, because I felt this film was already pretty heavy. And I guess, you know, as you say, some of those elements in the film, such as the court case and whatnot, which you weren't such a big fan on, I do feel like they were sort of the only way that the film really could try and tie in these elements of people with good intentions. But you're right, there may have been certain ways that these could have been implemented in a better, grittier feel that may have floated your boat more. But with that in mind, you know, this film does seek to scale the walls that establish between couples and their friends and their family after a great loss, and the decisions that they make and how they affect each other. You know, sort of a wife's grief versus that of her husband. It's the same pain but different results. For instance, handing a baby to science versus burying it. What did you feel about that?
Look, I think this was a great portrayal of how loss is perceived, or I think a better way of saying it is how it's grieved differently. You know, I still have my reservations that Sean's character was shoehorned to be Paul opposite to Martha, you know, just to have that narrative flow. But having gone past that, having a baby to science versus burial, you know, this notion explores tradition versus the concept of potentially negating another family from experiencing the same scenario. And I think when films pose intangible scenarios like this, where there's no one clear answer or method of reason, this sparks debate amongst the viewers and gets conversations flowing. And I think that's a kudos to both the director and the writer, because her having that inner battle to relinquish her pain to anger, or to move forward and find reason as to why her baby didn't survive, are two separate things. And I think that I wished it was explored a bit more in depth, but I'm happy with what I've got.
I like that you actually mentioned that, you know, this can spark debate and whatnot, because obviously that scene that you mentioned a little bit earlier about the monologue really is sort of this tipping point for all the characters where they sort of have their debate, they put their issues on the table, they have an argument or a discussion, however you want to look at it, and they sort of find a way there to move forward, at least with that piece of their lives. And the mother that we hate, Elizabeth, she gives a perspective during the scene in the house, which everyone needs. You know, everyone needs to realize that the situations we find ourselves in could always be worse, as they inevitably have been for others, just like they were for her as a child, and that we may never know the pain, but we all walk around with it like ghosts, and we don't own all the pain in the world. So sometimes we need someone to pull us up on it so that we can pull ourselves together, lift our heads, as the mother said, and move forward. And for some, that means you need to move on. It doesn't mean you forget. It doesn't mean you get over it, but you have to get used to having that pain with you. And I think this mother's monologue was really about that. It's about accepting what has happened. You don't discard that. You're never going to forget it, but you learn to live with it.
No, you're spot on, Sabe. The monologue of Elizabeth provides a different perspective. It's a different vantage point to look at one's truth. One cannot possibly say that she's wrong. I think there's even a justification in her conviction. Like, no one can determine whether the midwife was at fault of negligence. I mean, at face value. But Elizabeth has the freedom to express her truth based on her own experiences. Just like Martha forgives the midwife to seek her own internal solace, Elizabeth's way of dealing with the issue may be conducive to her need to sue her to find her own solace.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this is the thing. Everybody experiences grief in different ways.
That's right.
And as we say, some people leave, some people become reclusive, some people want to be litigious because they need to attribute blame somewhere. It doesn't necessarily make any of them right, wrong, or indifferent, but we are all different.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, that monologue sparks such a great debate on who's right, who's wrong, or what perspective to take, and how, or just giving the viewer a different perspectives of the same point.
I mean, just a little aside to this, I hated the character Elizabeth for most of the film, as we were meant to, but up until the point that she gives you that new perspective, even as an audience, you sort of go, now I understand her character.
Yeah.
And I think as an audience, because it is such a heavy film, we experience the shift, the psychological and emotional shift that Martha probably does.
Yeah.
So I guess moving on with the story elements too, another big part of telling a story is obviously the cinematography. A film is nothing without it. So looking at things like the visual symmetry of their lives dying like their own plants inside, it's just excellent. And this film used so many small snippets of the world to highlight the changes, the passages, and the decay and rebirth of all the lives of the characters respectively. And this film is beautifully shot and directed with such finesse. And as I've said earlier, you can tell the people behind it must have experienced real pain in their lives. For this is the only way someone could execute such a story with such admirable conviction. Because I feel like even something as subtle as growing an apple seed and putting it in the fridge, to have a camera person focus so intently on these seeds and the placement, and then later to find that they're shooting, it's not just a narrative element in the story. It's also the sort of element that someone that's gone through this and may have done that exact same thing would have said, you know, the thing that got me through was I planted an apple seed. And so the cinematographer makes a point of showing this, and the writer makes a point of including this. And I think when you get all those elements tied with cinematography, you just end up with something truly phenomenal, because while the shots themselves may not be particularly artistic in a technical sense, they are so artistic from a narrative sense.
Yeah. I think the most memorable scene in this film for me was what's designed to resemble a continuous 24-minute take. The film leaves the viewer to experience the twists and turns of the emotionally fueled narrative in real time, and it does this by initially establishing the viewer's connection with the characters. And secondly, letting the actors themselves dictate the scene's trajectory, or this sense of freefall from a moment of serene wonder to a heightened anxiety or despair. And that's really empowering for both the actors performing the scene and as an audience member watching the scene unfold. Now, I do like the ending of this scene where you mentioned that, you know, we see that seed come back full circle and we see the apple tree with the little girl in the tree. Whether or not that girl was real is debatable, or if it's just a homage to what she's lost.
Particularly in the scene where you mentioned it goes sort of 24 minutes, it's the labor scene. A lot of that felt like you were at the table, like you were a person looking at the character of Martha and Sean was standing off beside you. And it actually reminded me of some of the early scenes in I'm Not a Witch, where the camera didn't necessarily follow who was talking or where the sound was at the time, which gave you this feeling of you were there, you were a fly on the wall, and what you were looking at wasn't necessarily what was happening directly in front of your eyes. It was something else in the room, which made you feel like you were in that room because you had to listen to where this voice was coming from around you. And I think that was a very powerful thing too, because when you wanted an audience to be so invested in this scene of birth and death, the best way to do that is to actually make them feel like they are in that room as well. And
yeah,
with regards to cinematography and I guess to some regards the sound design, it really was successful.
Yeah, it was just absolutely brilliant. So shall we wrap this film up?
Yeah, we may as well. So of all the films we've reviewed in the lead up to the Oscars, this is the only one that has actually stood out to me as deserving of such an accolade in its own right. Now, I would argue that this is one of Vanessa Kirby's strongest ever performances, and she deserves the Oscar for Best Female Lead without a doubt. Furthermore, unlike Ma Rainey and One Night in Miami, I feel this was a stage play adapted to film which was actually done really well. It took the opportunities film offers over stage productions and adapted the story in such a way that didn't feel as lazy as the aforementioned films, which we've previously reviewed. Now, while this is not a film I could stomach watching a second time, I can't deny it's a masterclass in telling a painful tale. And it is for this pain which makes me never want to see it again. So for that brilliant execution, I give this film an 8 out of 10.
Pieces of a Woman displays the mesmerizing performance of Vanessa Kirby, who captures the essence of grief, anguish, and loss through varying emotive expressions. This is arguably the epitome of her career. The film, through its own agonizing opening, delivers a portrait of personal disintegration and alludes to the rising from the ashes metaphor of one piecing one's life back together. It's real, it's raw, and for the most part, it's very captivating. Both Mundrusco and Kirby take the viewer on an emotional, gripping journey, exploring human temperaments, relationships, belief systems, and ideology. Pieces of a Woman is a mixture of drama and compassion, concluding with an enigmatic apple tree ending. And it's for this reason, Save, I also give this film an 8 out of 10.
Wonderful. I'm glad we see eye to eye on this film.
It's the first time in a long time. But hopefully we can see the same next week.
Hopefully so. So with that in mind, that is all from us for today. We hope you've enjoyed yet another episode from us. So remember to follow us on your favorite listening platform, as well as Facebook and Instagram. And as ever, recommend us to your friends, family, and colleagues for their enjoyment too. And as per the end of the film, if you or someone you know has experienced grief or is struggling with mental health and needs help finding resources, visit www.wantotalkaboutit.com. But until next week though, goodbye.
See you guys. See everybody soon.